Throughout the Easter season, the first reading is pretty much from the Acts of the Apostles. If there's a special feast day or sometimes something else sticks in there, but pretty much we walk through the Acts of the Apostles. We see the early church growing and start to wrap our mind around, okay, what is it that the early church looked like? Now, there's lots of themes that'll come out to you when you read the Acts of the Apostles, but one that kind of jumped out to me was conversion. We see this particularly in two people, Saints Peter and Saints Paul. Pretty much the first half of the Acts of the Apostles, you see Saint Peter, and the second half, Saint Paul, and there's some of the guys and gals interspersed in there. But basically, these are the two main characters of the Acts of the Apostles. And we see conversion taking place in such as Paul, or the results of that conversion happening in the results of Saint Peter. So I'd like to see how these beautiful conversions have taken place and how they can help us in our spiritual life. So we'll start with St. Peter. When we go back and look at St. Peter in the Gospels, we see a man who gets it wrong, who can be inconsistent at times, and runs away from our Lord when you would think our Lord would need him most. Now, to be fair to St. Peter, he hasn't given the advantage of knowing about the resurrection of the dead, and he hasn't experienced the infusion of the Holy Spirit yet at Pentecost. St. Paul starts out as a Pharisee named Saul. And in chapter 7 and 8 of the Acts of the Apostles, we see him consenting as St. Stephen is being put to death. And we see that he drags people out of their houses to have them imprisoned. And we're told that he tries to destroy the church. Now you might think to yourself, these are the two guys that God is going to choose to pretty much catechize the world, because St. Peter will go out to the Jews and St. Paul will go out to the Gentiles. But this is exactly what happened, because both of them went through these wonderful conversions. So let's look at these conversions. St. Peter has them because he has these post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, and he's there at Pentecost when the tongues of fire come down upon the disciples. He's there and receives that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Saul, St. Paul, is on his way to Damascus, and we know that he is given a vision of Jesus Christ. He's struck blind, and the people he was going to arrest and persecute are the ones who help him to restore his sight through prayers and also baptize him, bring him into the saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So both of these men have these wonderful encounters, and we see it manifested, how they live out their lives, both in the Acts of the Apostles, but also in the rest of the New Testament writings. So let's look at St. Peter. In today's reading, he's now filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gets up in front of all the Jews who had come from all over the Jewish lands. They've all come to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we see St. Peter gets up and boldly starts to proclaim Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one that we have been waiting for. In the next chapter, St. Peter goes to Solomon's portico, where you'd have both Jews and Gentiles there. And once again, we see a St. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next chapter, chapter 4, he's brought before the Sanhedrin and the high priest. This is the highest ruling body, and he's called to give an account for this bizarre teaching that he's going around teaching everybody. Now, St. Peter was a fisherman, wasn't have a formal education, and here he is in front of all these doctors of the church, right, all these rulers of the church. Imagine, with no formal training in law, going before the Supreme Court and having to argue your case, right? Pretty intimidating. But yet, St. Peter gets up there, and he's boldly proclaiming what God has asked him to do. In Acts of the Apostles 15, we have the first council of the church, the Council of Jerusalem. What's going on is, as they go out and start bringing people into the church, the question arises, do you have to be circumcised, the Jewish covenant, to then enter into the new covenant of Jesus Christ? And there's a huge debate that's going on that is going to pretty much fracture the church unless we know how to handle the situation. It's St. Peter who stands up and says, no, let's not put obstacles in front of these people trying to come into the church. Think about it. If you have a movement and all of your first people to join are going to be adults, imagine saying to an adult male, we have this new religion we want you to adopt. There's a little procedure you have to go through first before you can come into the church. Might be a little bit difficult to get them to sign on, right? It's on a dotted line. So it's St. Peter we see, of all the apostles, gets up and says, this is what we're going to do. So St. Peter is no longer confused. He's no longer afraid. He's fearless and he's clear focused because he's now an instrument of God. In chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter also is the one who has to correct some of the early church members. There's a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who withhold money from the community. And when St. Peter challenges on it, they lie to him. They try to cover their tracks. So it's St. Peter who challenges them. Now, St. Peter could have said, well, you know, I denied our Lord 3 times, so I probably shouldn't say anything, right? Who am I, right, to say anything here? But St. Peter also knows that he is a sinful man and needs a Savior. He says in Luke's Gospel, get away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. But he also has experienced God's forgiveness, God's mercy, and God's love, and understands what that means to be resurrected from the death of sin. He understands that people who are in their sins will never have a relationship with Christ, either in this world or the world to come. So St. Peter is offering this mercy, saying, come back into right relationship with God. So we see a new St. Peter, a converted St. Peter, who is alive in Christ. So let's now look at St. Paul. Again, this is a man who tried to destroy the church and was out killing Christians. Now that he's become a Christian, we see that it's not always wine and roses being a Christian. He finds out how difficult it can be when you are called to go out and preach. In 2 Corinthians 11, he tells us what happened to him while he was preaching. He said he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and robbed. He said he experienced sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, cold, and exposure. You might think he would give up and say, you know what? This isn't really what I thought it was going to be. No thanks, Lord. I'm going to go back to being a Pharisee. It's much, much easier. But he doesn't. And here's what he says about his suffering. He says in Romans 5, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. These are the words of a man who has been convicted. Here is a man who's gone under a conversion and realizes, no matter what happens to me, I must continue on my mission that God has given me. Just a quick note, both of these men, St. Peter and St. Paul, would ultimately be martyred. They would give their life for the faith. So these two converts, these two wonderful conversions, are held up to us as a model for us to emulate. So how do we match up to them? Do we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? In 2 Timothy 4, St. Paul says, proclaim the word, be consistent, whether convenient or inconvenient. So do we really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as we're called to? Or do we give excuses for not doing it? Are we ready to correct the sinner, starting with ourselves? Admonishing a sinner is one of the spiritual works of mercy, because a sinner is out of right relationship with God, self, and neighbor. We've probably all been there. It's a horrible place to be. But admonishing that sinner, bringing them to repentance, brings us back into right relationship with God, neighbor, and self. So to say to someone, come away from your sin, repent of your sin, is not to be judgmental, it's to be merciful, because you want them to be back in right relationship with all. And what about the crosses? We all know we're going to have crosses to carry in our lives. Maybe you're carrying one right now. Or we're going to have to help another person carry their cross. Well, what did St. Paul tell us? If we allow to understand suffering, we can see that it allows us to grow in endurance, in character, and hope. Suffering is always bad on one level because it shows us something good is missing. But it can be redemptive. It can help us to grow in our relationship with ourself, with God and neighbor. It's when we struggle, when we really understand who we are, we really learn who our friends are, right? And we see about this beautiful gift that God wants to give us. So today we examine how Saints Peter and Paul underwent these beautiful conversions. But we too are called to have this conversion day in and day out of our life, grow closer to God. And when this conversion comes in us, it transforms us. We too can be that beautiful light of Christ that Saints Peter and Paul were to our world.